ॐ नमः प्रणवाथाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाधृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्ने दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। लोकेऽस्मिन् दिविता निष्ठा सुरा प्रोक्ता मयानघ। ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम्। भगवान् इज़ आन्सरिङ्ग् अर्जुनस् क्वश्चिन्। In the last class we saw, Arjuna understood that Jnana Yoga or Jnana Marga is higher than the Karma Marga, being directly leading to Moksha. And at the same time, Arjuna understood Jnana Marga requires a dedicated lifestyle in the form of sannyasa. But still, why Bhagavan is insisting to me to follow the Karma Marga? So for that, he asked a question. Jayasi chet karmanaste matha buddhir janardhana tat kim karmani ghore maam niyojayasi keshava. If Jnana Marga is greater than the karma, then why you are insisting me to do this ghora karma? For this, Bhagavan is answering. He says, during Srishti, I have given two types of lifestyle to the humanity through the Vedas. A lifestyle which is meant for sannyasins, and another lifestyle which is meant for householders. Based on these two lifestyles, any human being has three choices. One is, after finishing brahmacharya ashrama, a person should enter grihastha ashrama, gain maturity, jnana yogyata, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and after gaining, renounce everything, go for sannyasa ashrama. Then after taking sannyasa, completely dedicate your life for jnana vichara and gain the knowledge and be free. This is one route. Another choice is, after brahmacharya ashrama, enter grihastha ashrama, gain maturity and stay in the grihastha ashrama itself, then pursue the jnana marga, gain the freedom. Third one is, after brahmacharya ashrama, skip grihastha ashrama, enter directly to the sannyasa ashrama, then gain the knowledge, be free. In all these three choices, gaining the knowledge is very important. Bhagavan in Gita will prescribe only first and second choice. He will never prescribe the third one, that is skipping the grihastha ashrama. Unlike Upanishad, wherein we find that disciple is very matured person. Therefore Upanishad say, na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyagenaike amritatva manashuhu. Directly it prescribes the sannyasa ashrama. Here, the disciple happened to be not yet mature. since Arjuna not yet got this jnana yogyata or vairagya, since he is having lot of attachments towards his people, Bhagavan always prescribes to stay in grihastha ashrama. Majority of the humanity should take this grihastha ashrama only. Activity is always safer than the withdrawal. Only exceptional cases who have gained yogyata in their past lives, they only are allowed to take sannyasa directly. That sannyasa will be called either vividisha sannyasa or vidvat sannyasa. Vidvat sannyasa means you have already gained the knowledge. In order to always immerse in nididhyasana, you take that sannyasa. Then vividisha sannyasa means you have not yet got knowledge, but for the sake of getting that knowledge, you take sannyasa. Therefore, there is a choice with regard to lifestyles, but not with regard to sadhanas. Everyone has to go through karma yoga sadhana and jnana yoga sadhana. Then the question comes, which is the first one? Whether I should go for karma yoga sadhana first or jnana yoga sadhana first? Human nature is always inclined to do something. Therefore, in Veda itself, karma kanda comes. Lot of portions are spent only with regard to rituals, whether it is physical or oral or mental activities are told. So karma yoga must be the first one. By performing karma yoga, a person is having a opportunity to neutralize his ragadvesha. Ragadvesha means strong likes and dislikes. So karma yoga only gives vairagyam. Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedam ayat. As long as vairagyam has not yet come in the mind, the person should live in the world with lot of responsibilities and experiment. You should do experiment lokan pariksha by performing his duties karma chitan. Brahmana hasan, as a learning person, if he lives, the very life itself will give you a maturity that nasti akrita hakritena. By doing something, I am not going to get the infinite. Tad vijnanartham, afterwards only, tad vijnanartham comes first karma yoga. Then tad vijnanartham, sa gurum eva abhigacche samitpanihi srotriyam brahmanishtam. Therefore, Bhagavan here prescribes karma yoga has to be performed first. All the duties, japa, upasana, are included in this karma yoga. All are meant for sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. We have seen what is the meaning of this word. Viveka vairagya, shamadhi shatka sampatihi and mumukshutvam, all included in this yogyata. So grihastha ashrama is a conducive lifestyle to gain this yogyata. And moreover, performance of duties, performance of sacrifices, performance of pancha mahayajna, we saw that rishi yajna, indra yajna, bhuta yajna, pitru yajna, deva yajna, all involve money. You need wealth to perform all these pujas and service activities, and you need members of the society. Therefore, the grihastha is allowed to have wealth, is allowed to have people around him. After gaining this yogyata, then secondly comes jnana yoga, and everyone has to practice this in the form of shravana manana nididhyasanam. And this jnana yoga makes him to gain atma jnanam. And sannyasa ashrama is the very conducive ashrama for this jnana yoga, wherein he doesn't have any responsibilities, he doesn't have any money, he cannot have anybody as his own people. So freedom from all duties and possession of money and people are not allowed. Whether a person becomes sannyasi or not, he has to follow jnana yoga to gain knowledge. Therefore, there is no choice in sadhanas. All the scriptures are very clear. Jnanadi eva mokshaha. Tamevam vidvan amrutaiha bhavati na anya panta ayanaya vidyate. All the scriptures are very unique in telling that freedom is already a siddha vastu. Being infinite, it is already a siddha vastu. You cannot gain it, you can recognize it. Therefore, that recognition will be called as jnanam, atma jnanam. And simultaneously, a person cannot follow both these things. Because karma marga requires a kartrutva buddhi. I am performing so and so puja, that is called kartrutva buddhi. I am serving the society, that is called kartrutva buddhi. But jnana marga wants a person to leave that kartrutva buddhi. And karma marga involves a lot of samagri. Samagri means various items are necessary to perform a puja. Milk is necessary, flowers are necessary. So many puja samagris are necessary. But jnana marga doesn't have all these samagris. And phalam also, karma marga gives a phalam, either in the form of punyam or pratyaksha phalam. Whatever worldly achievements we want, we can gain that. But jnana marga gives jnanam. It doesn't give any phalam. It removes the ignorance. That's all. Therefore, both cannot be performed simultaneously. First comes karma, then comes jnanam. Without practicing karma yoga, if a person directly takes to jnana marga and sannyasa, then he will be a failure. Therefore, Bhagavan here prescribes karma yoga to Arjuna. He says, mere sannyasa ashrama lifestyle does not guarantee moksha. What guarantees moksha? Atma jnanam alone guarantees moksha. And that atma jnanam can be gained by even householder also. Therefore, don't try to escape from your duties. Escapism won't help you. You will be an hypocrite. You will be a ubhayabhrashtaha. Ubhayabhrashtaha means neither here nor there. At least if you follow karma marga, you will gain something in this world and something in the next world. And you will gain maturity here. But neither you are performing the karma marga nor you are qualified for jnana marga means then you will have nothing. Therefore you will be ubhayabhrashtaha. Here Bhagavan says, sannyasastu mahabhaho dukkam aptum ayogataha. He will tell in the fifth chapter, a person ayogyaha, a person who doesn't have any qualification, if he goes for jnana marga, that will be a miserable one. Therefore, don't ask which one I should follow. Arjuna asks, tadekam vada nishchitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. Arjuna understood that both are different paths. But Bhagavan says, they are not different paths, but different stages. They are different stages of only one path. That is, there is no choice with regard to karma and jnana. Bhagavan continues, na karmana manarambhad naishkarmyam purushoshnute na cha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhigacchati. In the following three shlokas, fourth and fifth and sixth, Bhagavan explains the importance of karma marga. Three points he will highlight. One is, inaction will not guarantee moksha. Second one is, total inaction is not possible. Third one is, inactive life is highly risky and it may make you as an hypocrite. Here Bhagavan says, purushaha karmana anarambhat naishkarmyam na ashnute. Karmana anarambhat means by avoidance of duties. A person can never attain moksha. Naishkarmiyam means here actionlessness. Actionlessness does not mean freedom from action. What does it mean then? Nirgadani karmani yasya saha nishkarmaha tasya bhavaha naishkarmiyam. Any karma requires a karta, a doer. Any action requires a doer. A doer will have doership, that I am doing this action. So if a person want to be free from action, he should be first free from doership, that idea called that I am the doer. That literally means that atma jnanam. Therefore here naishkarmya means mokshaha. A question may come. In Vedanta often we say by doing karma moksha cannot be attained. Just now I pointed out, na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyage naike amrutatva manashuhu. By doing something, nasti akritaha kritena. By doing something, I will not attain moksha, generally we say. But here Bhagavan says, by avoiding karma, you will not have moksha. So both are contradictory. So which one is correct? The answer is, both statements are correct. By avoiding karma, you won't get chitta shuddhi. Without chitta shuddhi, without purity of mind, you won't gain knowledge. Without knowledge, moksha cannot be attained. Therefore, when Bhagavan says, by avoiding karma, you will not get moksha, means by avoiding karma, you will not get purity of mind. Without purity of mind, no knowledge. Without knowledge, no freedom. When Upanishad says, by doing karma, you won't gain moksha, because moksha being siddhya vastu, it is a siddha vastu, already it is there, so by doing something you will not gain it. Therefore any karma will produce karma phalam, moksha cannot be a karma phalam. Karmaha sakshat na moksha karanam paranta paramparaya moksha hetuhu. Karma cannot give moksha, but at the same time it can lead towards the moksha marga. Now Arjuna may ask, why can't I directly go for jnana marga, taking sannyasa life? Because all the time he is insisting on escaping from the terrible war. Bhagavan says, if you want to take sannyasa, there can be only two reasons. Either you should be a jnani already, or you should be a jnana yogyaha, you should be a mumukshu. Kevala sannyasa, that is just taking sannyasa lifestyle, wherein no responsibilities, just wearing a garba cloth, will not help you, and it will be dangerous also. Here Bhagavan says, nacha sannyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. You won't attain moksha by merely taking to sannyasa lifestyle. Kevala sannyasa it is called. One sannyasa is vidvat sannyasa, allowed. Another sannyasa is vividisha sannyasa, that also allowed. But third one is kevala sannyasa, that is not allowed. Kevala sannyasa lifestyle does not guarantee moksha. Simply physical quietitude, tushni bhavaha we call, does not guarantee freedom. And this kevala sannyasa is inferior to karma marga. At least in karma marga, you have a chance to reduce your raga dvesha, a chance to get maturity. But in kevala sannyasa, neither you can perform any rituals nor you can have any maturity. Therefore mokshaha requires atma jnanam in the form of ahankara tyaga or deha vimana tyaga, and that is attained only by knowing the truth that ahankara, that I the doer, is a mithya, is not existing at all. Shankaracharya quotes a shloka from Mahabharatam. Teja dharmam adharmam cha ubhe satyanrute teja, ubhe satyanrute tektva yena tejati tat teja. Initially avoid all the adharmic actions, then after gaining maturity avoid the dharmic action also. Teja dharmam adharmam teja. By avoiding dharmic action, it doesn't mean that you have to go for again adharmic action. First adharmic action should be totally avoided, then dharmic action should be practiced. After practicing those dharmic actions, rituals and upasanas, that also should be renounced for the sake of gaining the knowledge in the form of shravana manana nididhyasana. So ube satyanrute tija, satya here means vyavaharika satyam, anruta means pradhibhasika satyam. Both the satyams, both these are not actual reality. Why? The person who is going to renounce this itself is an unreal entity, that is ahankara. So satyanrute tektva yena tyajati tatyaja. The person says, I have renounced this, he says. But the person is again available there. He is there. So that personality also is mithya, is not real. Therefore, that very ahankara also should be renounced. Physical renunciation without chitta shuddhi and jignasa will be a burden. So all this renunciation always is in the form of internal maturity. Therefore, Arjuna, escapism won't guarantee moksha. Never avoid your duties as long as you are not an adhikari, as long as you are not matured. Inaction never contributes to the peace of mind or maturity. Bhagavan continues. Nahi kachit kshanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit karyate hyavashah karma sarvah prakriti jair gunaihi. In the last shloka, Bhagavan explained that inaction won't guarantee moksha. In this shloka, he will say inaction is not possible. Total inaction is not possible. Here he says, kashchit kshanamapi akarma kritasan jatu na tishtati. A person can never remain as actionless, even for a moment. No one can be actionless even for a moment. That means total avoidance of actions is never possible. Why? A person who wants to avoid the action is naturally an ignorant person. Being ignorant, his swabhava will not allow him to be fight. He will have desires. Desires will make him to have ragadvesha, and ragadvesha will push him, will goad him towards action. So avidya causes dehabhimana, dehabhimana causes kama, kama leads to karma. Two type of karma we have: pravritti rupa karma, nivritti rupa karma. Pravritti means going towards it, nivritti means getting away from it. These two actions only we do. Whatever we like, we go towards that. Whatever we don't like, we get away from that. The idea of these two actions are what? I should be comfortable, I should be secured, I should be peaceful, I should be happy. If an action helps me to gain that happiness and peace, then I go for it. I like it and then I go for it. If that action is going to disturb my peace and happiness, then I will try to avoid it. In our parampara, they have a funny story. There were two army people. One is elder, another is younger. So in their leisure time, they were just talking. The elder one asked, okay, what made you to join the army? Younger one told, I want to be an adventurous person. And I found this civil life, that civilian life, is not that much adventurous. Same routine, same people, same food item. So I want to be adventurous, therefore I joined army. Then that younger one asked, elder one, what made you to join? The elder one told, I want to be peaceful and comfortable, therefore I joined army. Younger one got surprised. How is it? I thought army life is a adventurous life, but you are telling that it is a peaceful and comfortable life. Is there any life more adventurous than army life? He asked. So elder one told, yes, living with my wife is more adventurous than army life. So both have joined the army. both have joined the army, but their purpose of joining differs. So all our actions are for this only, to gain happiness and security and peace. Here Bhagavan says, as long as you are ajnani, you will have likes and dislikes. As long as you have likes and dislikes, you will have actions. Here he says, kshanam api, even for a moment you cannot be free from actions. That's why you can see, even sitting in satsanga, some people will be biting nails, some people will be folding the paper, some people will be picking up the carpet. Why? Physically you are asked to sit, but still there will be a restlessness. Some people will be shaking their hands, shaking their legs like that. These are all signs of restlessness of the mind. So even for a moment, nobody can be actionless. When a person says, I am sitting quietly, but sitting also is an action. And when he says, I am sleeping, that also is an action. While sitting, he has manasa karma. Though his physical actions are stopped, but still he will be roaming all over the world, or at least he will be hearing the words whatever is told, or he will be imagining something, or he will be worrying about the past, or he will be anxious about the future. Even though physical action stops, still his mental actions are going on. Even during the sleep, mental actions also stop, but pranic action is going on. You nicely take dinner and go for sleep. Early morning, you have not done anything for last 6 hours or 7 hours, but still early morning when you get up, you feel hungry. Why? Because of the pranic action. So as long as you are having that dehabhimana, as long as you are an ajnani, you cannot avoid karma totally. Bhagavan says, sarvaha avashahasan karma karyate. Sarvaha means all living beings, not only human beings, all living beings are forced to do some action or the other helplessly. It is not under his control either to do action or not. Forced by whom? Prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Forced by his own swabhava, which is governed by three gunas born out of prakritihi. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi means three gunas born out of prakriti or maya or ignorance. Everyone is forced to do something or the other. Remaining quiet is impossible as long as a person is an ignorant person, as long as he has that dehabhimana. One more story they used to tell about the impossibility of quietitude. How it is very, very impossible thing, or how it is very, very difficult thing. Only a jnani can be, Bhagavan will tell, karmanya karmayah pashche akarmanicha karmayaha. Only a jnani can be actionless person, even while doing lot of actions. Those detail you will see in the later time. There was a Swami. He used to sit at the entrance of the temple doing nothing. He would simply sit. So one executive officer, temple endowment board officer, was posted newly. So he came to office and started verifying certain documents. How the expenditure is going on, how this prasada is distributed, like that he was verified. There he found a list of people to whom this temple prasada was distributed. So pujari, this much quantity, one packet, and tavilvan, one packet, nadaswara vidwan, one packet, then cleaning person, one packet, like that. Then at the end of the list, a name was there, a Swami who doesn't do anything, one packet. So this officer got annoyed. What is this? All other people are, somehow or the other, they are contributing to the temple. Therefore, it is proper to give some prasada. But this Swami, the title itself, a actionless Swami, or dutyless Swami, or responsibilityless Swami. Why should we give him? So immediately he ordered, because he has to establish his new authority, that he has some authority. So immediately he ordered, don't give this prasada. So Prasada did not go. That Swami was living on the temple Prasada only. So he waited. 12 o'clock over, 1 o'clock over, Prasada did not come. Almost all are coming out of the temple. Then he asked the priest, "Hey, what happened today? My Prasada packet has not come." Then that priest told with all respect, "Swamiji, I don't know, now new officer has come. He has told that Prasada should not be given to you." Then Swami asked, "Why?" He told that you are doing nothing, therefore you should not be given. "Oh, doing nothing means that much easy for everyone. Okay, let me talk to him when he comes out." By the time, officer also came out. So he asked, "Sir, what happened? Why you are not given Prasada, my portion? Why you are not doing anything? Doing nothing, how can you expect something from the temple?" Like that he told. That Swami told, "I can do all your duties, but none of you can do my duty." What is my duty? Doing nothing. Then immediately that officer got annoyed. "What is this? Everyone can do whatever you do. Doing simply nothing and sitting. That's what I say, you cannot do that. You please try." So by the time people came around, so it was a prestige issue for that officer. So he also sat next to him. So Swami told, "Sit here. Quietly sit here. Not necessarily whole day. 2 hours you sit here." Then 10 minutes over, 15 minutes over. Then he started seeing watch. What happened? So Swami told, "Sit quietly, doing nothing." So he took away that watch. Then half an hour over, started seeing going people, coming people, and started talking to them. The Swami told, "Don't do anything, sit quietly. You should not do anything." So 1 hour over, then immediately after 1 hour, that officer got annoyed. "Chah, nobody can do this action. Doing nothing is a great thing." Therefore, he went to the office and wrote, "Give 2 pack for the Swami who is doing nothing." In Tamil, they say, "Summa irukkira Swami ke rendu patta kodu." Like that, doing nothing is a greater thing. If you want to experience, come one day and stay with us. In ashrama, people think that ashrama sadhus don't do anything. Come and stay with us, then you will understand how difficult it is. Ajnanam will never allow a person to keep quiet. Dehabhimana will never allow a person to keep quiet. Because of Dehabhimana, he is under the control of 3 gunas. Sattva guna, Rajo guna and Tamo guna. Sattva guna will produce certain type of desires, like doing puja, doing service like that. Rajo guna will produce certain type of desires like earning money, going for sense pleasures like that. And Tamo guna will produce certain type of desires like a lazy, cozy lifestyle. So getting up, hanging with the TV serial like that, these are all Tamo guna desires. So either he will have Sattvika desires, or he will have Rajasika desires, or he will have Tamasika desires, as long as the person is an ignorant person. His ragadvesha will never allow him to be actionless. But in the case of a jnani, in spite of his intense activity, still he will say that I never do any action, because he doesn't have Dehabhimana. Indriyani indriyarteshu vartante naiva kurvan na karayan. I am not doing anything. I am the all-pervasive consciousness. I cannot move, because action means movement. I cannot move, therefore I cannot do any action. In my presence, all these indriyas, that is body and mind complex, do lot of actions. This knowledge only Bhagavan wants Arjuna to gain. In Sri Ramakrishna's gospel, we will come across this type of people who try to escape from the duties. If they go for sannyasa or if they go for rishike, after some time they will write a letter. Sri Ramakrishna says they will write a letter. "Don't worry about me. I am here well established. I have put one Rudraksha Mala shop." So for selling Rudraksha Mala shop, why should you take sannyas? That you can do as a businessman. Therefore, O Arjuna, you will start a sannyasis association, because your rajoguna is there. Fighting nature is there. So even if you take sannyasa, you will not keep quiet. he will start one sannyasis association and he will fight for their welfare. So that you can do now itself being a kshatriya. Therefore, never desire for actionless lifestyle, because it is impossible.
Karmendriyani sanyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhatma mithyacharasya ucchate.
Very strong condemnation about the kevala sanyasi. Kevala sanyasi means a sanyasi who doesn't have either jnanam or jnana yogyata. He doesn't have love for the Lord and he doesn't have mumukshutva also, desire to study the scriptures, desire to spend the entire time in spiritual practices. So kevala sannyasa is highly risky and it can be a counterproductive one. Certainly it will lead to your spiritual fall. There are some basic human needs which every human being has to overcome. He has to outgrow of these human needs. Need for survival, need for food, need for shelter, need for cloth. Very basic need it is. Once these three needs are fulfilled, in his mind he will have another need called need for sense pleasures. Then if that also fulfilled, another desire will come, that need for social acceptance. He should be recognized by the society, that desire will come. I should accomplish so many things, I should establish that I am so and so in the society. At least if nothing possible, he will have the desire, at least I will marry a girl and give a child to the society, some contribution to the society. Another giving a child, and that child will be a cantankerous personality, that is different case, but at least in that level I will contribute. That also another need. And finally, need for name and fame. So all these basic needs should be outgrown. A person should outgrow all these basic needs. Without transcending these natural and basic human needs, if a person gives up responsibilities, then he will be ubhaya brashtaha. Ubhaya brashtaha means neither he will get maturity nor he will be eligible for jnana marga. So that ego has to ripen before its fall. Before it is going to fall, that should be ripened. That fruit called ego should be ripened. That person should be a self-sufficient person. Emotionally, he should be a self-sufficient person. He should be self-sufficient in the form of fearlessness. Whether food comes or not, whether shelter is there or not, I will proceed in my spiritual practices. I don't need any sense pressure for my existence. I don't need any social acceptance. I don't need any name and fame. He should be emotionally sound. His ego should ripen. And that ripening happens only in grihastha ashrama. Because in grihastha ashrama, there are a lot of responsibilities, lot of tempting situations will be there, lot of challenging situations will be there. By going through all these responsibilities and challenges, he will get that maturity, his ego will get ripened. And he will transcend the worldly desires first. Afterwards, if he goes for sannyasa, either out of knowledge, that is vidvat sannyasa, or for the sake of knowledge, that is vividisha sannyasa, then that sannyasa will be fruitful. Otherwise, he will be most miserable person. He will be most miserable person. Society will respect him as though he is a great mahatma, but his mind will tell, you are duratma. Society will put garland to him, society will bow down to him, society will do pada puja to him, but his mind itself will not accept those reverences. So if a sannyasi does not engage himself in the shravana manana nididhyasana rupa jnana marga, jnana nishta, if he doesn't engage himself in ishvara puja or guru seva, then his mind will be dwelling in what? விஷய தியானம். எனி ஆக்ஷன் யூ ஹாவ் டு டூ, வெதர் தட் ஆக்ஷன் ஆர் இஃப் யூ டோன்ட் டூ தட் ஆக்ஷன் தட் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிசிப்ளின், நேச்சுரலி மைண்ட் வில் ஹாவ் விஷய தியானம். விஷய தியானம் மீன்ஸ் வி சா இன் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர், தியாயதோ விஷயான் பும்சா சங்கத்தேஷு உபஜாயதே. இட் இஸ் அனர்த்த பரம்பரா. So in Grihastha Ashrama, the householder has lot of trying situations. So many goals he has, so many future plans he has, so many responsibilities he has. At least he will be worrying about his future. So mind is engaged in those directions. But a sannyasi who doesn't have any responsibility, who doesn't have any challenges in his life, if he keeps his mind in the worldly objects, then his mind will be having Vishaya Dhyanam. An idle mind will be a devil's workshop, not even devil's residence, devil's workshop. Workshop means lot of production will be there. What the devil will produce? Raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryadi. So all the suppressed desires will come up. He cannot fulfill them since he has already declared to the world that I am a sannyasi. He cannot fulfill them. At the same time, his mind is not free from those desires. Shastra cannot accept those desires to be fulfilled. Society will not allow those desires to be fulfilled. But at the same time, this man dwells in his mind about these sense pleasures. Due to pressure of these desires, either he will be an hypocrite, enjoying those sense pleasures hidingly, or he will become madcap. Like a pressure cooker, what happens? When pressure goes on increase, there will be a knob. So the pressure should come out, whistle will come. If it doesn't come out, what will happen? It will burst. So either he will be an hypocrite or he will be a madcap. He will lose his sanity of his mind. So there was a householder. One day there was a quarrel in his house. So suddenly he decided, what is this nonsense, all the time quarreling with spouse, so let me go for sannyasa. He took sannyasa. He went to Rishikesh. If you go to Rishikesh, within 1 month or 2 months you will get sannyasa. Some places within a day you will get sannyasa. Not like Ramakrishna Ashrama, 10 years you have to be there, you will be verified, you will be tested, all the situations will be given to you, then the elders will see whether you are withstanding all the situations. So now also lot of places are there wherein you get sannyasa Diksha, sannyasa, dress within a day. Like that the Swami, grihastha, ex-grihastha, now he has become sannyasi. So after becoming sannyasi, he was a little bit sincere only, trying to do some spiritual practices, something, japa or studying it. So a lot of disciples also came to him. Now and then, he used to tell, Emi Ayindo, what happened? Like that he will tell, now and then. Emi Ayindo, Enayindo. So disciples are wondering, what is this? All the time our Gurudev is telling, Emi Ayindo, Emi Ayindo. So we have to remove that. Because it's a question. So answer should be there. And disciples don't know about what he is asking, Emi Ayindo, what happened, like that. So after many months, along with the disciple, this guru, that sannyasi, ex-grihastha, now sannyasi, he wanted to know Emi Ayindo, what happened. So he came towards his Purvashrama. Purvashrama means towards his village. So whether we'll go there, anything we'll come across, at least some news may come, I will know, like that. So the one disciple was very curious enough to answer this question, Emi Ayindo. So he went nearby villages and somehow inquired, you know, this so-and-so person, like that, and came to know that Swami, ex-grihastha, from this one particular village. And he managed to find house also, Purvashrama also. And there he saw a mother with a child, about 2-year-old child. Then he understood now, oh, the child is the answer for this question. So he took that child, came to Guru, where Guru was staying. So now and then the Guru practiced for him. Emi Ayindo, E Koduka Ayindo. It has become a child. What does it mean? Even though the person has given up his family, but still the mind dwelling on the family people. So therefore he will be an hypocrite. Bhagavan says, suppression is very dangerous. It will lead to split personality. Externally he appears that he is for dharma and moksha. In our culture, anyone who wears this garba cloth is respected because it is taken for granted that this person is something higher, is leading something higher life. So he is not for artha and kama, he is for dharma and moksha. Therefore society naturally reveres him. Taking this natural reverence for granted, if a sannyasi is not up to the mark, if he is an hypocrite, if he is internally living for artha and kama, then he harms himself, he harms that sannyasa tradition and he harms the society, he cheats the society. Therefore Vedanta never accepts this suppression. It prescribes the transcendence of these desires by going through the various responsibilities of householder life. Vedanta never accepts that suppression. Without maturity, without vairagya, never go for this sannyasa life. Therefore Bhagavan says here, kevala sannyasi yaha karmendriyani sanyamya, one who has physically restrained from sense pleasures, but manasa indriyartan smaran aste. He has physically restrained because of his ashrama dharma. He cannot go for any cinema theater, he cannot go for any drinking place. Society will not allow. So he has restrained those activities physically, but at the same time manasa indriyartan smaran aste, he'll be mentally dwelling on those sense pleasures. Saha vimudhatma, Bhagavan says, saha vimudhatma, he is a fool, he is a confused person. He is not very clear what he wants in life. If he is very clear, if he wants that artha and kama only, then he will go for grihastha ashrama. If he is very clear that he wants only dharma and moksha, he will practice all the disciplines of sannyasa ashrama. Since he is not clear, neither he is practicing those sannyasa ashrama dharma, nor he is having responsibilities of grihastha ashrama. If a person wants indriya sukham, Bhagavan says, take to grihastha ashrama. Along with indriya sukham, you will have a lot of responsibilities. Indriya sukham are allowed for grihasthas along with responsibilities. If a person doesn't say, I don't want responsibilities, Shastra says, give up the indriya sukham also. Without responsibility, you should not have indriya sukham. So you can have jnana sukham, a sukha, a happiness, a peace of mind gained by knowledge. This vimudhatma, a confused person, doesn't have this clarity of thinking. Having taken to sannyasa ashrama, but at the same time desiring for indriya sukham, is a sign of delusion. Neither he gains anything in this world, nor he is going to gain anything in the form of punya in the other world. He is a most miserable person. Nor he can enjoy artha and kama openly. Neither he is preparing himself for higher knowledge. He tries to enjoy them hidingly. Anything we do hidingly, we don't enjoy that. Because while doing itself, if we hide those actions, what does it mean? My own mind doesn't accept that action. That is why I try to hide. I want others not to see that. But my own mind has seen that. So before doing that, he will have anxiety whether I will have the sense pressure or not. How to go to that place? Questionable place. So if anybody sees, what will happen? Like that he will have anxiety. Then during having those sense pleasures, he will have fear of being caught. If anybody sees me, if anybody catches me, if TV wala catches me, media wala catches me, what will happen? So that fear will be there. Then after having those sense pleasures also, he will have guilt consciousness. Therefore, anything a person does hidingly, he cannot enjoy that. And it will lead to split personality. With split personality, life will be a miserable life. Bhagavan says, saha mityacharaha uchyate. Mityacharaha means papacharaha, and hypocrite life. He is called an hypocrite. He mentally dwells in sense pleasures while declaring to the world that he is a renunciate. He thinks, whatever I am thinking internally, others are not seeing, because there is a complacency. If you do something openly, others are seeing. But if I think something secretly, others are not seeing. There is a complacency that others are not seeing, others won't know that. But who is the loser? The person himself is the loser. He cheats himself and the world also. Sri Ramakrishna will say this type of person, he will compare a vulture. A vulture soars very highly. For other bird community, the vulture is a great thing. Oh, so high it is flying. But the vulture's mind and vulture's eye will be where? On the dirty, filthy thing which is lying on the ground. So similarly, this kevala sannyasi, who doesn't have maturity, who doesn't have mumukshutva, also appears to be great in the eye of the public opinion, but at the same time his mind will be always on the dirty things which he is not for. Therefore Arjuna, if you have atma jnanam, then go for vidvat sannyasa. If you have jnana yogyata, or if you have mumukshuta, or if you have intense desire for freedom, then you can go for vividisha sannyasa. Without having either jnanam or jnana yogyata, without transcending your raga dvesha, if you renounce your duties and take to kevala sannyasa, then there is a possibility that you may be a mithyachari. Bhagavan says, being my devotee, being my disciple, I will not allow you to take this kevala sannyasa. So remain as a householder, perform all your duties as Ishwara puja and receive all the karma phala as Ishwara prasada. Then in course of time, you will be away from your strong likes and dislikes. You will be free from raga dvesha. Then you will get that maturity. Then afterwards, if you want, you can renounce. After winning the war, after becoming raja, then you renounce. I will accept. Before itself, if you have that renunciation, inclination of renunciation, you would have renounced before itself. 13 years you people were roaming in the forest. What you have done in those 13 years? All the time, with lot of vengeance, thinking about your humiliations, thinking about how to tackle the enemies. You spend all the time in procuring weapons and other things. You never even asked me. So many times I also came to your place in the forest. You never asked me, please tell the Adhyatma Vidya, what is Atma, what is Anatma. You never asked me. Now, because of this duty, which is in the form of unwanted duty as far as your understanding is concerned, you try to escape. Never try to escape. Bhagavan continues, Yasvindriyani manasa niyamyarabhate Arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asaktasya vishishyate. Last three shlokas he has criticized the escapists. Now he will tell another 3-4 shlokas. How better grihastha ashrama lifestyle while performing the grihastha ashrama duties, how it will lead to spiritual evolution, Bhagavan will explain. Here he says, yaha indriyani manasa niyamya, one who has control over his sense organs through his matured mind, karma arabhate, performs all his duties. How he performs all his duties? Asattahasan, being unattached towards the phala of the karma. Whatever action we do that brings the karma phala, some result it brings, and it may be a desired one or unwanted one. So without having attachment towards the karma phala, asaktaha san, yaha karma arabhate, how he does? Karmendriyaihi karma yogam, he performs karma yoga, not ordinary karma. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Both are doing actions, but one has a proper attitude towards the action. What is that attitude? We saw in the second chapter. While performing that action, I perform it as Ishvara Puja. Any puja we can do with two motives. Generally, we come across one type of motive only. If you go to any temple, they will ask your name, then your family member's name, their nakshatra, and afterward they will start on sankalpa. What is that? Dhanam, dhanyam, pashum, bahuputra labham. So that is one type of motive. Another type of motive is dhrujakshayartham. In order to reduce all my prarabdha, papa, Ishvara Prithyartham. So both the attitudes can be attached to a particular action. Karma Yogi attach a proper attitude that it is for Ishvara Prithi. Whatever I do in my life, it is for Ishvara Prithi. It is for Durida Kshayartham. It is for reducing my Papa Karma, my bank balance. So if a person has this attitude, that attitude is called Ishvara Prithyartham. While performing, he does as a puja to the Ishvara. Then while receiving the phalam, he receives as a prasada. As a prasada from the Lord, as a gift from the Lord, whether it is delicious laddu or an ordinary water, how we receive? Generally water, if anybody gives, we will not take, because we are afraid whether bacteria is there or virus are there. Only bottled water we take. But in temple, the pujari gives lot of water. Happily we take. How we take? Because it is not an ordinary water. With that, there is an attitude called Shraddha, there is an attitude called devotion, that it is from the Lord. Therefore, it has purity. Even if it appears as a contaminated water, still with all love and devotion, we take it. And laddu also we take it. There are some places where they will give only bhasma. Or mud also they will give in some places. All we receive with our devotion. What makes that ordinary thing, ordinary water, ordinary mud, ordinary bhasma as a great one? Because I have an attitude that it is from the Lord, not from ordinary person, it is from the Lord. So prasada buddhi is there, means I can withstand any shock in my life. Anything happens in my life, if I consider that it has come with the permission of the Lord. If I have that idea that it has come, this karma phala has come with the permission of the Lord, and Lord doesn't have any partiality. He is a greatest dharmavan. Without any reason, he will not torture anyone. If you have that attitude or clarity of thinking, then whatever comes in my life, I accept it. That is called prasada buddhi. Both put together, Ishvara Prithyartham, karma kuru, prasada buddhya, karma phalam, svikaro. So both these put together is called karma yoga buddhi. If a person involves all his sense organs, because sense organs cannot be stopped, they have to work. Pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani are there. We cannot shut our eyes, we cannot shut our ears. But at the same time, we cannot allow them to have in their own root. So we have to restrain them, manasa, indriyani, niyamya. Then after restraining them, we have to give a direction for the sense organs. What is the direction? Karma yoga is the direction. Whatever responsibility now we have, those themselves can be converted as puja to the Lord. Bhagavan is going to tell, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, yad dadasi, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, tat purushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, people think that doing some particular type of action like japa or meditation or puja only is Lord's worship. No, Bhagavan says all your life activities can be converted as worship, provided if you have this karma yoga buddhi and you direct all your sense organs in performance of this karma yoga, then saha vishishyate, he exalts. Exalts more than whom? More than this kevala sannyasi. Karma yogi exalts kevala sannyasi. More details Bhagavan will explain, you will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane. பிரணதக்லேஷநாசாய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஹ.